Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Today, guys, we're going to be talking more about deal structuring, because honestly, the more you practice and the more you do this yourself, the better you'll get. And so we want to continue to do these, right, Jeff?
This is by far and away the feedback that we've received is people love deal structuring. It's something that they can follow. They can sit down with a calculator and figure out numbers together, that it's the most helpful. But yeah, I certainly like variety. So what we always want to mix some stuff up. But yes, deal structuring is super important.
Yeah, and we always encourage our audience, if you can, sit down with a calculator when we're actually, you know, running numbers, and run them for yourself, punch them in your calculator, because then I think it solidifies the information that we're giving out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So this is an apprentice of mine, and this one's going to be interesting, because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about, one, is it a deal, and how could we structure it as a deal? But two, there were some pushback from the seller, and this is kind of normal pushback that, we want to talk about. So we know up front, we want to try to deal with, right? And so I think it'll be helpful for our listeners to, hey, if these kinds of things come up, you got to push back too. So that we have a ARV of 400,000. They owe 268.
ARV.
They've got a payment, I think it was 1400 PITI. An HOA of like $300 a month. They were asking 397.
397. Okay.
Yeah.
So like full. So
and I believe the house, I think this was a townhome, but I believe, you know, it was in excellent condition.
Okay. What was the PITI again?
1400 plus a 300 HOA.
1400 plus the 300 HOA, 17?
Yep. Uh-huh.
1700 with HOA.
So can I tell you, first off, that exactly what I'm going to look at to kind of give me an idea of where to start with this?
Yeah.
All right, so the first thing that I see right here is that, hey, seller thinks the property is worth 400,000 and is basically asking 400,000.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So immediately, any kind of cash offer from us is a huge long shot, right? Because they're asking retail, we're asking wholesale, and we're going to be nowhere near one another. Okay, so to me, immediately, on a $400,000 home that's got a $1,700 a month payment, it might be able to rent for $2,300. So there may be a possibility to look at trying to structure something and sell this property to a landlord.
Yep.
It's in excellent condition, so there's going to be no selling it to a rehabber. There's no equity either. So,
yep.
So to me, there's two options here. We're structuring this to try to sell to a landlord if it will rent for enough, or we're looking at trying to structure it and sell it just like our last episode to an owner occupant, either as an assignment where we're just, you know, upping our down payment, upping our price, willing to take a fee, assigning our contract and being done, or, you know, actually buying this property, being able to sell on better, being able to sell on higher terms to our buyer, staying in the middle, hopefully collecting some passive income and having some equity somewhere down the road, right?
Yep.
Okay. So we've already eliminated every other way to deal with this property.
Yeah.
Okay. So when my apprentice talked to the seller, he was willing to come down on price pretty quickly, down from 397 to 380.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was open to terms.
Okay.
Okay. If, in my opinion, if he was not open to terms, what happens to this lead?
It's pretty much dead because
it is
a retail.
Right? Asking retail, not open to terms. Yeah. You know, we can't help everyone. It just doesn't happen that way. And they've got to give us a reason. Okay. So they said that they would be open to terms. However, they wanted 25% down.
Ouch.
Yeah. So that's basically 100 grand here, right?
Yeah.
What does that do to our deal?
I think it kills it.
It absolutely does. So, Jonathan, if you're talking to a seller and so far you've had some positivity where, you know, hey, they said that they would come down, you know, almost 20 grand in price. They'd be open to terms, but then they sock you upside the head with the 25% down payment. What do you do?
I would say, well, if you absolutely need that, I'm probably not the buyer for you because okay. I can go buy a property on bank financing with 20% down. I would just if they were stuck on that, I would tell them I'm not your buyer.
So what I think a lot of investors will do is they'll just gather that information, right? Hey, they want 25% down and then, you know, they'll go try to deal with it later. And I think that's a mistake. You've got the seller on the phone now. Let's have a conversation about it now. Let's figure out exactly what you just said. Are we a good fit or not for this particular property? Part of the issue with pre-screening a seller is, hey, I want to get rid of the ones I can't do business with very quickly and move on to the ones that I have a much better shot at doing business with. So if this one's not going to work, then let's figure it out rather than keep it hanging around trying to chase them, right? So. Yeah. So I liked what you said, and you could handle this in a number of ways. Yeah, someone said 25%, I'd probably be like, ouch. Why do you need so much money down? Normally when we figure out terms, I mean, it's 0 to 5% maybe at most. Is that something that's, you know, a deal breaker for you? Because I don't know if we'd be the best buyer if you're really looking for 25% down. And then now put it back on them, right? Because if they tell you, hey, the only way I can sell this house is I need $100,000 because, you know, I got to go bail my son out of jail, or I got to go put it down on another house, or, you know, I have an absolute specific use for that money, then maybe this isn't going to work. But if they don't, and they just think that, hey, when I've heard of terms, I've heard that, you know, to be able to trust people, you got to get 25% down. And in which case, maybe we can overcome that. But we want to find out, is there a specified reason for that amount of money down? And I would ultimately tell them, hey, that's a deal breaker for us. You know, that won't work for us. So if you're telling me you absolutely need it, then we're probably not the best buyer. Maybe, you know, we should just part friends at this point.
Right.
But let's put it out there. Okay.
Yeah.
One of the other things that the seller told my apprentice was they would do it for 3 years. Okay. The term.
Okay.
When you're looking at, and it will really depend on how you structure this and really what your business model is. Now, I do a lot of 3 year term kind of stuff. And I'm trying to expand it a little bit. I'm trying to expand it to a minimum of 42 months, and I'm trying to actually get to 60 months. I just like 60. I think that's plenty of time to get anything done. And I think as the market kind of shifts a little bit, it's not so seller oriented that we'll see a little longer term being accepted on a regular basis. But the reason that I don't want to necessarily do a 3 year term is, now what we haven't talked about interest rate or principal pay down or anything like that here, but what I do know is that chances are we're paying close to retail, right?
Right. Yep.
So let's say we paid 380 and we're just going to sign our contract and we're going to add 20 grand to it. So our buyer is into this for 400 minus, let's say, a 10% down payment, right?
Yep.
So that means that they have 10% equity in this property. In 3 years, if things were to slow down a bit, how much equity does this buyer have?
Not a lot.
Yeah, right? 13%?
Yep, right about the same.
Yep. So they're going to have, I'm always thinking, I don't want to put my buyer in a tough spot to refinance. I'm always trying to get my buyer to a point where, hey, I'd prefer that they don't have to bring in any additional money, that, you know, in whatever time frame that they're given, that they should be okay, yeah, to be at around 80% loan to value. Some of that's a guess, right? You know, yeah, we don't know what the market's going to do. And but you know, I don't want to put people in a short-term situation where they're, you know, I'm setting them up to fail. So what I'd like is a little more time on this one. And but let's talk about, if we actually were able to get the seller to be open to a longer term and a smaller down payment, what are some ways that we could structure this that might make sense?
Well, I would think that, do we know what you can get for rents? We don't, do we?
Well, let's say that we think you can get 2100. Okay.
So there's around $400 cash flow.
Yeah.
So I don't think you would want to be, if you were holding it, you wouldn't want to be into it any more than like $40,000.
If who's holding it? You mean if you're buying it as a rental?
Yeah, if you're going to buy it as a rental, I don't know that there's enough there to pass on to a landlord with a wholesale fee. So you would have to get in light on this deal.
Right.
So you would have to get in. And if you were, so like, if you were keeping it as a rental, right, and you wanted that, about 12% on return is kind of what I just figured out. So about 400 a month times that by 12, divide that by, 12%, 0.12, about $40,000. You would have to be into it less than that to achieve that 12% return.
But if you offered, let's say, the seller $15,000 down, and you were okay taking a $15,000 assignment fee, that's 30, right?
Yeah.
If you're bringing in $400 a month, $4,800 divided by $30,000 is 16% cash on cash return. I think that would work.
That would work. Yeah.
So why don't we structure one way where, let's talk about, and I'm not really concerned about coming up with the offers here, but I'm more concerned about thinking through this and looking at what are some of the potential issues. So we've already had to overcome down payment. We've already had to overcome term, right?
Yep.
Here's the other thing that now we have to overcome. So, hey, we're offering the seller, you know, less than the down payment than they really wanted, and maybe significantly less, right?
So it is.
At 15,000, we're less than 5%.
Yep.
Right? Well, here's the other issue. So how much do they owe on this property?
268.
And how much are they willing to sell this property for?
380.
So they got over 100,000 in equity.
Yep.
Do we really believe that they're okay leaving all of that equity in the property, not getting any money on their equity, and willing to just allow us to make their payment, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
It's possible. Don't get me wrong. It's possible. But is it 100%?
No. And how probable is it?
Hey, we'll give you $15,000, $20,000 up front. All right. And we're basically covering your payment. And we'll secure your equity. And then 3 to 5 years, we'll pay you off.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's serious motivation there, then yeah, maybe you can get that done. But if there's not serious motivation there, do they agree to that? They may or may not, right? So
yeah, but it doesn't.
If they don't agree to it, then our landlord situation's out, right?
Yeah.
So
because it changes,
we have no cash flow.
Yeah, exactly.
So where do we go when all is lost and we need an exit strategy?
Sell to an owner occupant.
That's right.
We would look to an owner occupant, and
it probably again would not make sense to stay in the middle, right? Because If we either have to do a better job when we're on the phone with the seller saying, are they willing to take, the $1,400 and make sure that we cover their HOA fee? They could go and rent this for $2,100 and still have a cash flow. So are they willing to, just break even? Or do they, if we're going to look at terms and we want, at least a decent amount of money down and, we want some cash flow each month.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe now, so we already know, we're going to sell this for around 400. So maybe we can get 40. That's what we should expect down payment. So if we were okay making 15, then we could offer $25,000 down to the seller, right?
Right.
And then we could also offer, and we can do this in a number of different ways, but we could divide this into two notes, right? So you have the existing note that's already on the property. We could just wrap that. That would be identical. And we're paying the $1,400 a month PITI. And then we're giving the seller a second note for the balance of their equity, which would be, if they got 25,000, we're buying them for 380. They're probably owed about 87,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right? And then even if we're just paying them $400, $500 a month, principal only payments, $350 interest only payments, $450, amortized over, whatever amount of time. We would play with those numbers to see what we can do the best, and the best to get the best principal pay down here too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So we can put our buyer in a good situation, but now there's no cash flow, right? So there's no reason to think that we could sell it to an owner occupant. Now we just got to stay within the framework of what an owner occupant would pay as a monthly payment.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would expect that, hey, if this property will rent for $2,100, that, hey, to own that, they'll certainly pay $2,100, $2,200 for, you know, ownership, especially if they can get into a nice house for 10% down.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So there's some ways that we could structure this, and I don't want to do the deal structuring necessarily on this one, but I wanted to talk about that there are going to be times where you're talking to sellers and they're going to put up roadblocks. And those roadblocks immediately are what? What comes to mind, Jonathan?
Down payment.
Down payment. So yeah, might as well have a conversation to see if we can overcome down payment, right?
Yep.
Even if they don't commit to you, that they just say, look, I'm willing to look at offers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So really what we're doing here is we're just going through the thought process.
That's right.
Of how to look at really tight deals where, you know, they're really asking retail.
Not even really tight deals necessarily. It's, I mean, when we say tight, I mean, these people have $100,000+ in equity. That they're willing to be somewhat flexible on price, but then they threw up some roadblocks like, hey, I want 25% down, I want a 3-year term. And then even though they haven't thrown this roadblock up yet, to me, there is a roadblock, and that is, how do we deal with the seller's equity? And if we can deal with it where we don't make a payment on it, and you know, we just secure it and then they get paid out in 3 to 5 years. Well, now we have lots of options, and now we can create some, we might want to be in the middle. We might want to sell to a landlord. We might want to sell to an owner occupant. That we have numerous exit strategies. If we either find out that will not work, or we just believe that it won't work, our exit strategies get down to one. And now it's, hey, we've got to go find an owner occupant that we can assign this contract to. And you know, if we can keep the down payment low, then we can make a profit.
Yep. And their equity, I mean, that's definitely going to be a big roadblock, because they're going to want to get paid for that.
They may or may not. Maybe they don't, maybe they got cash. Maybe, you know, they've already bought another house and, you know, they don't need this cash yet. But you're right. For the most part, a lot of people are going to want to know about that equity, and not everyone's going to be okay with just leaving it in the house for the next 3, 5, whatever years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Very good. So guys, I hope that really helps you think about how to look at these deals, and how to push back on sellers if they say, well, I want 25% down, then say, okay, well, maybe I'm not your buyer. But always ask the question, well, why do you need that? Because it may not be a hard situation. You know, they might be flexible on that, and they just thought that number sounded good. So always ask the questions. And then, you know, just be upfront with them. Like we said at the beginning of this podcast, you know, maybe I'm not your buyer then. If that's absolutely what you need, I'm not your buyer. Because you don't want to be chasing these leads, wasting your time, because you just want to be able to move on. We can't solve everyone's problems here, or give them what they're asking, or, you know, because this is closer to retail than anything. I don't see why they couldn't just put this on the market, especially if it's in excellent condition. That
it actually, before my apprentice could put together an offer on it, they got a cash out offer.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. which happens right now. I mean, we're in a super hot market. You got to move quick, and you got to hope that, you know, others aren't moving as fast, because, you know, if the choice is leave all my money in my property, get very little money up front, as opposed to getting cashed out, getting all my equity now, I mean, not much of a choice, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Cool. All right, guys. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you guys have a deal that you need help deal structuring on, please reach out to us on our Facebook page, the Creative Financing Podcast on Facebook. That will be the best place to leave those questions, because we have a community there. We have more people that can chime in on it, rather than calling our hotline. So do that if you got any deals that you're looking for help on structuring. If you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, give our hotline a call, or actually, I think you wanted to start directing those questions.
Yes, Becca. If you would like more immediate response, and you don't leave it up to me, and which could be a week or 2 weeks, which is not really fair to you guys, just reach out to Rebecca, Rebecca, at weofferoptionswithans.com. And just say that you're interested in the apprentice program. She'll send you some info. If you'd like to chat with me or her after that, happy to do so. It'll be very self-explanatory, but we are really looking to add more people in the next 2 months. So we hit 2021. I just see a huge opportunity coming. So want to train people, want to put you in a position to start making money right away. And then hopefully you learn the wholesale business and you just go and start doing this for yourself. So.
Yeah. So again, Rebecca at weofferoptions.com if you're interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program. And those of you who've called in on the hotline and you haven't got a response back, please just go ahead and email Rebecca and let her know that you're interested in the apprenticeship program. She'll get back with you that way. But if you're interested in our Creative Financing Academy, which we are in the midst of putting together right now and should have live and running before the end of the year. It's a all-inclusive video platform for learning and using creative financing strategies. It will be a platform that shows you how to do step-by-step deal structuring in video format, so that you can practice. You can go over the videos that are on there, follow along with your calculator, learn how terms are put together, and how to make payments work. So if you're interested in that, reach out to us on our hotline at 877-409-8090. And if you haven't already, text Creative Financing or CFP to that hotline number for special access to a step-by-step video that shows you how to create these or how to structure terms. So what else, Jeff? All of our episodes are on the creativefinancingpodcast.com. That's our archive. So
yeah, if you want to go back to the very beginning, that's where you need to go.
Yeah, you got to do it there because iTunes, I think they only hold like 100 episodes.
Yeah.
So you can't get the most recent stuff.
And don't give us a bad review because you can't go back on iTunes. We don't control that.
Yeah, no, we don't. That's out of our control. So yeah. That's why we have everything archived on our website and you can find it there. So guys, any last words, Jeff?
No. We're getting toward the end of the year and we've been doing this almost 2.5 years now. And any kind of ideas or things that you would like to hear, I mean, go to our Facebook page, post them. We love the feedback. Want to give you content that you can use and that will help you in your business. So anything that you think would be helpful, let us know.
Yeah, reach out to us there. Okay, guys, until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.